Now, Graham, before we get into this week's episode, I want to tell you that I got a lovely DM from an old buddy called Sam.
Is this Sam Carthy?
Yeah.
He went to school with you?
He did, secondary school, New Park.
Before you get into it, he followed me on Instagram. He was giving out to me the last day on Instagram.
Oh, why?
Because I was in the car making an Instagram story. Of course, I was parked up, giving out about a tree that was chopped down. My favourite tree.
Oh, that was your favourite tree.
But on the radio, I had News Talk on. And he goes, why do you listen to News Talk? I said, look, somebody's got to keep their ear to the ground as to what's going on, because Nathan surely isn't going to know what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I didn't even know there is a station called News Talk. Anyway, Sam and his message gave me something very important. He says that, look, your podcast, it's out every Thursday. Yeah. And today, Graham, is International Men's Day. So he wants us to raise awareness for men's mental health, because he gave me a very scary fact here. Globally, a man dies by suicide every minute. And in Ireland, 8 out of 10 suicides are by men. So just want to say, if you're listening to this and you're struggling, there are always people to talk to. You can go to the Samaritans, contact them. There's a phone line available for 24 hours a day. Speak to someone there. Their number is 116-123.
You know you belong together, little big pod forever. You're talking on air. Nathan has weird hair. From the very first moment I heard you, I never felt such emotion. From talking on air, I said no, you are there. So hold me in your arms and let me go. I wanna stay forever, closer each day. Graham and Nate,
we are here.
You're just too good to
be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Graham is leaving the studio. I don't know why. Maybe he needs to pee. Maybe he needs to do a little poo. But thank you for choosing Graham and Nathan's Little Big Podcast. You're very good. We appreciate your existence. Hope you're well. Whenever you're listening to this, maybe the year could be 2024.
Can't take my
eyes off of you. I know you're singing. Sing with us.
You feel like heaven.
Do you know those musicians that put up videos on TikTok where you can sing with them? Find that very strange. It must be odd for the musician to record it in the sense of this is going to be on TikTok.
Don't know how it's done. Will I get some emails?
Yeah, get some emails. Oh, Jesus.
I sneeze like my mother. She always goes, like a cat.
It's a very cute sneeze you have.
Because I don't like to go, achoo, to spray all my stuff all over the place. I go,
good to have in the pandemic. Email address GrahamandNathan@gmail.com. I can't believe we have another email. Do you get a notification when you get sent one?
So I have notifications turned off for this, so I only check it once or twice a week. So I'll go in and I go, whoa!
And do you read the email or do you leave it?
I read the email. Okay. Email number one.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Hey guys.
Hey.
Just want to say how much I love listening to your podcast every
Thank
week.
Thank you. Who is this from?
Amy. I listen to Fully Charged every day on my way to work.
Appreciate it, Amy.
And I look forward to your podcast every Thursday. I feel like I know you both at this stage. Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Hope you guys are keeping well. And thank you for keeping me entertained during these crazy times.
Does that make me crazy?
Stay safe, Amy. You keeping well, Nathan?
I'm trying to stay safe. Of course I am. I live in a pretty safe neighbourhood, and I'm also on the second floor in the apartment block, which is lovely. I used to live on the ground floor. Do you remember?
Bad vibes there.
Do you remember when I... Oh, negative vibes. Do you remember when I lived in Portobello and my bedroom? This was the first house now in Portobello.
Absolute shithole.
Horrible place.
Shithole.
But my bedroom was facing the street, so when
up
they're
top though, you're upstairs.
No, that was in the second house. So the first house, I was at the bottom, very vulnerable, having your bedroom window right on the street.
Yeah, I remember that.
And there'd be a few drunken people that would knock on the window, and you'd have the your window open, you'd be so scared that they're going to come in and slice you.
Yeah.
But they never did. I just heard the noises.
Do what I do and keep a crowbar underneath your bed and get ready to smash someone on the head with it.
So you have the crowbar. It's not underneath your mattress.
So my mattress is on a kind of, what do you call it? I don't know. There's, anyway, the bed base, there's shelves built in underneath.
Oh, that's nice.
And in there, I have my old DJ decks. I've got old sleeping bags, a Woody costume that we wore at Comic-Con, even though Woody isn't part of Comic-Con.
That was a strange day.
But the company were being cheap asses and they wouldn't buy us proper costumes. And a crowbar.
Where did you get this crowbar from?
Do you want to know about my crowbar?
Yeah, come on.
So I found the crowbar in the house, in the shed. But, and I recently used it to crack open the bathroom door because the lock got, the key got broken in the lock and it was locked.
Oh yeah, you didn't tell this story.
I had to, one of the lads' girlfriends got locked in the toilet and the key broke and they couldn't get out. And I was thinking, yeah, absolutely no problem. I'll just be able to unscrew the lock. It'll be fine. But I was just unscrewing the handle. But the actual key inside wouldn't open it. So I'm in there trying to fiddle it around. And outside, I'm trying to keep a calm persona because I've taken control of this situation.
Was the girlfriend in distress? Was she shouting?
She was fine. She was fine. And I was like, look, I'll look after it. It's fine. I've got a few tools and stuff like that. So I went downstairs. We have a little drawer and in there you got a few screws. You got a few screwdrivers, roll plugs, chisels, stuff like that.
Oh, man, this guy is the real deal.
But in there we have this little package of, like, it's a handle for a screwdriver, but it's got different heads on it. So any type of screw.
Well, what's that called?
Phillips head.
Phillips head.
Yeah, but this is like, there's about 20 different heads to fit any screw you want. So I went upstairs unscrewing the handle. And as I'm unscrewing, I'm thinking, shit, this isn't going to work.
Oh.
But I'm doing it anyway just to look like I know what I'm
talking
about.
So is the girlfriend saying anything while this is happening?
I'm just saying I have it under control. She's like, that's fine. She's sitting down. No problem.
How long had she been in the bathroom for?
Half an hour.
Half an hour?
Yes. Her, I'm obviously not naming names here, but her boyfriend was watching football with me and didn't notice.
That sounds like the boyfriend.
And
yeah, that sounds like him. Dirty weasel.
So the handle was coming off and then I realised that inside the door was the actual lock. The lock where you turn the key and that comes out and it locks the door. That was what our problem was, not the handle. And the key had broken and the little bit of the key was inside. So I went down and I got these little pincers. It's kind of like a pliers but longer. I can't remember the exact name.
Am I right in thinking with this door you also have at the top a window?
Yeah.
So worst scenario, you could smash that window. Could a human body fit out of that?
Maybe.
Like no, my big ass couldn't.
I would have got to worst scenario in a bit. So I try to get hold of the key in the inside and then try to turn the key with the pincers as if the pincers was the key handle.
That's interesting.
Then that fell and didn't work. And then I'm starting to panic. I'm looking at the hinges. I'm like, okay, we can't get to the hinges. I'm thinking,
how the hell is her boyfriend doing anything or still just watching the football?
Just kind of watching the football, keep me updated. Has Man City scored or not? And I'm thinking, so on our bathroom, it's on upstairs.
Yeah.
But above our door, there's this piece of concrete that juts out. So when you're standing at the door, the rain can't come down. That is directly underneath the bathroom window. So if this makes sense, when you walk up to my house, it's front door, above the front door is the bathroom, and in between is this kind of roof ledgy thing.
All right.
What would have happened is she would have had to have got out of the bathroom window, got onto there, and jumped onto the grass downstairs.
Would she have hurt her knee?
She could have hurt her knee or ankle or anything like that.
I always look at that whenever I'm in bedrooms. Could I jump out of this window and be alive?
I'm okay. I can because there's a bit of an extension in the back of mine that I can, there's literally out my window.
What do you think about mine? My bedroom. I'm on the second floor.
There are hedges and stuff.
And I have a dodgy knee. I won't die.
No, you would be really hurt.
Yeah.
So I eventually then thought, I got a crowbar. This is a very flimsy door. I'll be able to put, if I put the crowbar into where the lock is, I'll be able to jam it open. And anyway, long story short, end up jamming it open. But I was talking about the crowbar under the bed. That's my kind of protection. Because I used to have a baseball bat, but someone took that. I think I talked about this in the podcast before.
Anyway. Express yourself.
But then that boyfriend who is living with me, won't name names of
course,
has
taken the crowbar.
Said, I wasn't in the house at the time. And he found out about the crowbar and he thought he heard someone downstairs. So I went down to my room and
he took the crowbar.
Yeah.
Have to be so careful with that crowbar because I'd say it's a heavy thing.
It's only a small one now. Oh. It's not a massive crowbar. It's only a short one.
Did you damage the door by opening
it? Tiny bit.
Oh, see, that's frustrating.
No, a tiny, tiny bit. You get away with it.
You didn't have to say to a landlord.
No, I don't tell the landlord
anything. If the landlord says, then shut up.
The lock is broken. I might have to fix that. But I haven't a clue.
You used to have a baseball bat. And yes. We won't name names. We're not naming names in podcasts.
Someone who used to work with us.
Stole it.
Asked for it for a Halloween
didn't
costume.
Didn't steal it, sorry.
I then forgot to ask it back. And then it got to a stage where it was too long. And I was never getting it back.
I will say, if someone ever broke into my house, I think I could use the radio award. That's next to my bed
heavy.
Now.
That's heavy. The base of it. Corner.
Radio moment of the year. The Matt Damon interview. Mm-hmm. Christ, is this award heavy.
Yeah.
You'd kill someone. You have to be
careful.
You
definitely would.
See, I would never go for the head or something. It would be the body. I'd get a dead arm.
No, I'd go for the head.
No, I wouldn't want to go for the head.
I'd go ahead. Knock him out. The issue with that is attacking a criminal.
Yeah.
Or a robber or a thief is, one, they're probably going to be strong.
Yes.
I don't know why.
They're never going to be weak.
No. Two, if you're bringing a weapon to the scene, there's a strong chance that they could wrestle the weapon out of your hands and use it against you. Imagine you were killed
with the radio
by your greatest moment.
Radio killed the radio star. That would be insane. Do you know my friend Mark one time came home after school and found a robber in his kitchen? Two guys in his kitchen robbing the place. And Mark quickly ran to the bathroom, shut the door and called the police. Was absolutely scarred. I remember he called me afterwards. I found it so funny.
So you're laughing your
head. Imagine coming home and finding people in your kitchen.
Anyone, great if they were chefs.
Yeah. I cooked you a lovely meal,
that'd be
boy.
Amazing if they were chefs.
I always think, though, when someone is robbing a house, are they wearing the black balaclava over the face? Yeah. Are they doing
that? Does that draw more attention to them?
Do criminals ever wear the black and white striped pajamas anymore? Or am I thinking of prisoners?
No, that would be a burglar.
That's a burglar.
That's a burglar.
That's
with a
something
black and
we're
white.
Taught.
Yeah.
Black and white clothes, burglar.
Like spiders are scary. Well, they're actually not really that scary.
You did something lovely earlier on that I'm going to just draw attention to.
Go for it.
There is a very big, dirty blue bottle fly in the kitchen. Few people, me included, kill it. Kill the bastard. Not Graham. Graham picked up a recyclable cup.
Compostable.
Piece of paper.
Even better.
And managed to free the fly, get it into the cup, and you were like a very young David Attenborough.
Yeah.
Letting the fly out into the world.
I would have killed it if I had something to kill it with.
Yeah.
But the nearest thing I had was a cup.
A crowbar.
Yeah. I had the cup, so I was like, I'll just catch it in the cup. I don't mind killing. I do kill flies. I don't kill spiders anymore.
Don't kill spiders. They're good luck.
Next up. Subject line. Still listening.
Oh.
Hey lads. Just a quick mail to say I'm still listening.
Is this Tommy?
Fell behind a few weeks ago because of COVID situation and moving home, etc, etc.
Tommy!
Or having to move. Don't have to move home, sorry. But I'm catching up slowly but surely. Keep up the fine work. All the best, Tommy!
Tommy! Oh, Tommy! I was so worried. If you don't know who Tommy is, he is a loyal Little Big Podcast listener who we invited. He was the very first listener we invited onto the podcast. This was pre-pandemic. He could come into the studio.
That's great.
We had a glorious conversation with him and he looked like Graham.
He looked like me. It was very. He kind of looked like a hybrid of both of us, but more so he looked like
very
me.
Very good looking, charming individual.
You're like me then, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Right, where's the thing you saved? Is it a Little Big Podcast folder?
This new show that I was recommended by my mum is incredible and I want to share it with you.
I really want to clean up this.
It is called Life on Mars.
Yeah, my dad was a massive fan of Life on Mars. He was watching it as was being released episode by episode. I think it's got big Bowie influences.
Oh, it is so cool. So I was on the phone to my mum last weekend.
Are you sure you saved it in this?
So I was on the phone to mother and my mum said, just finished watching a great show that I think you'd love. It's called Life on Mars. And heck, if there's only one good thing to come from this pandemic is that I am binge watching series and I would never do that in the past. I never did. It came out in 2006 on the BBC. It's like a crime detective show, but it balances psychological horror with comedy. There's two seasons of it. I've just watched the first four episodes. It's on Netflix. It's 55 minutes long. But what I really enjoy is watching a show from that era. It kind of reminds me of you and I when we would have watched our Corries and EastEnders with the parents.
Era as in the noughties, or the era as in this is shot as if it was in the 70s?
I would say
like this,
the first.
The problem with this has got to do with era.
This is the storyline.
My name is Sam Tyler. I had an accident and I woke up in 1973. Am I mad, in a coma, or back in time? Whatever's happened, it's like I've landed on a different planet. Now maybe if I can work out the reason, I can get home.
So he's in 1973. So look, I won't do any spoilers because I'm still very early on in this as well.
So you can't?
I can't really, even if I tried. 1973 is the year. So he gets hit by a car and he's in a brand new era. He wakes up, he's in flare trousers, and he goes to the place where he currently worked in 2006. But the building is still there from 1973, and they say, oh, you must be the new guy. And it's just all about him solving these cases in 1973. But from time to time, he will hear his mum, hello, Sam, wake up. Because he's in a coma. And he's fully aware that he's in an alternative universe. And at one stage, he did try and jump off the building because he thought, oh, look.
Kind of like Inception.
Yeah, it's so good. It's clever. I'm loving it.
Ashes to Ashes was the one. It was the second season, but it's a play on David Bowie songs. And they end up in the 80s. What does this one sound like?
Huh. Is there any talking?
Oh, I think it starts in 3, 2, 1,
drop.
Hi, I'm a man and I was hit by a bike.
Oh.
And I can't remember a fucking thing.
What era are you in, sir?
I woke up in 1982.
Oh, what was so good about that year?
And the cars were better than the 70s. And the
boom, 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 boom.
Mum, is that you?
Hello, son. What? Son, eat your vegetables. Eat your vegetables, son.
I thought it was in the 80s.
Is Ashes to Ashes on Netflix?
Yes, it is. Guys, this is a free podcast and I have changed your TV experience. This is when it would be good to be sponsored by Netflix. See how seamless that was? And we were both passionate. Like, you even got on the passion train. You seemed like you were excited about life on Mars.
I'm excited because I remember Dad talking a lot about it, and it's good to see you coming back.
We want to speak about we must get your father on the podcast and just speak about life on Mars.
He'll be alright.
Would he like it?
Probably not. What was I going to say there? Something important there. Life on Mars, Ashes to Ashes, Netflix. Yeah, I was just going to bring up the fact that Now TV sponsor Tommy and Hector.
Oh, do they?
And that song is stuck in my head from Tommy. Now this show has sponsor.
Yeah.
And a sponsor's name is Now TV.
Oh.
It's unbelievable.
Okay.
Enough of us talking
what
about
if them. We were sponsored by Netflix? Could you do a song for Netflix?
So oh, this show has sponsor. And a sponsor's name is Netflix.
Netflix.
You got Ashes to Ashes, Life for Mars. You also got people. Murder Mystery.
We're going to promote Tommy and Hector's podcast
amazing.
Loretta Blewett. It's fantastic.
She'll be delighted now because she is one of the co-hosts of Tommy and Hector, and her cousin Joe Biden just won the White House.
And Joe Biden, the first place he's going to visit is Ireland.
I saw Laura Whitmore release a podcast. Genius podcast. But
all right, sell it to me because there's a lot of podcasts.
She's obviously been listening
to this.
Our podcast.
All right.
Hers is called Cast Away, and it's a podcast about podcasts.
Oh.
That's a great idea, isn't it?
Podcast inception.
Yeah. So you get people on to talk about their podcast.
We've been doing that. We just haven't been promoting it.
Whitmore.
You win this round, Whitmore. Yes, I applied for MTV News. Would you have loved to have done that job that Laura Whitmore did?
Yeah,
MTV
fair play
News.
To her. Jesus.
That was
a massive,
I really remember that.
That was when MTV was at its peak.
Yeah, do you remember when you just watch MTV News?
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like
she
went on that long.
Huge. That was class.
I would struggle at that.
MTV has gone to shit now. Nobody watches MTV.
I know.
Isn't that mad?
VH1 classic.
Yeah, I used to always do the music surfing when I was back home with the parents. I'd always flick through the music channels,
yeah,
try and find something good, but there's so much shite now.
There was a channel on a Saturday night after 10 or 11 o'clock. It would show X-rated videos. It was the urban one, and it would show NERD lap dance, but it would be the dirty version where the girls would be topless. Jesus. It would be all X-rated
Does
videos.
That still happen?
Mainly, I doubt it now. Huh. Mainly from.
Just asking for a friend.
Mainly from America. All these kind of hip hop videos, but it was like, oh, what was it called? It was just so it was the back end of the music channel. So it moved with popularity. So you had MTV, VH1. A few in the middle, and then you got to
Urban.
It was something urban, yeah. And you got to Stars. Remember Stars?
I remember Stars, where you could vote for a song,
yeah,
or
you
get your song.
In.
Yeah,
it was like a request show on radio, but you would text in and go, "Hey, to Nathan who's listening there."
Yeah, I remember seeing topless people. I do remember seeing the odd picture up there.
So the
topless.
One just before that was the one where they would do X-rated videos on a Saturday night. I heard about that. My friend told me.
Do you remember
it.
The show Sexcetera? Were you
yes.
aware of that? That
yeah,
would have been
yeah,
like
yeah.
in our teenage years
on
the television.
Bravo or something.
Bravo.
It was weird because it wasn't like
hardcore porn
race.
Or anything.
It was like softcore porn.
Yeah.
Where a woman would be going around Europe and.
It was all that Eurotrash.
It was
TV.
Eurotrash.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then they would do like a topless wrestling match in Bulgaria or something like that. And you'd be like, whoa. This is the hardest shit I've ever seen in my life. Oh my God. I can't believe this is on television.
See, I used to hate it. If I was watching those shows,
yeah.
My dad could never sleep throughout the night. He would always go to bed very early and then he would wake up and walk down the stairs. But do you know when you wake up from a sleep and you're
what
squinting?
What time would he go to bed at? Sorry.
My parents go to bed really early because they wake up
okay.
at like 5:30. They swim
oh,
in the
right.
40 foot. So...
naked or?
I don't know. I've never asked. Do you know when you wake up from a sleep and you're squinting? Because you're trying to get used to the light.
Yeah, yeah.
So my dad will walk down the stairs and he's squinting. He looks like a mole or a mouse.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget I had a few friends over at the time, a country shrew. And I had my friend Rob and Niels
yeah.
and Sean. And we were watching TV. I don't think we were watching Sex Cetera. But my dad walks in squinting and... he never buttoned his boxers. He
oh,
always
Jesus.
Had it open. I said it to him a few times. I'm like, would you please? He would buy those really long boxers.
Yeah.
Do you know the flimsy ones?
He wouldn't need them.
Of course.
Venting like his son.
Donkey. Don't call me Donkey.
I didn't. You called yourself Donkey.
Yeah, I'm not Donkey.
Well, don't say it.
But he would always have... his fly open and he'd be eating Weetabix while watching the TV going,
with
what
you?
Are we watching?
At 10?
Yeah.
In his boxers?
Yeah.
Is everything okay? Do you need to talk?
I don't know. Maybe I need to call my dad. It was so weird, but it's a memory that I have.
Did you ever have a fake ID when you were younger?
No.
It was only a conversation that I was having with the lads this week in our WhatsApp group. But at some point, and we don't know whose idea it was, there was five of us that were very close at the time. We were best mates. We'd always go out together. And we were getting to that age where... now, we didn't start drinking early at all. We all started drinking. I didn't start drinking properly till I was 17. A few of the other ones were about 16 because I was a year older than them. But it was really... like, I was a late bloomer in terms of that. It was the summer of fifth year. And around then, I think we were saying, we're just going to get fake IDs. Because what would happen is...
fake IDs to get drink or go to clubs?
Go to pubs mostly. You couldn't get into the club. But what happened is, when we started trying to go bushing, where you were drinking out in a bush, we would have
to... is that what it's called, bushing?
Yeah. Like, we weren't really that close to the group of lads above us. So we didn't have a relationship with them where we could say, lads, do you mind buying us drink, when they were all 18? So what we'd have to do is we'd have to hang around the off licences and ask people. And one evening in particular, we'd ask this fella, and I don't want to use a term I want to use right now.
Ah, you're in a safe place.
But he would be, we'll say, an undesirable, who would be fighting an awful lot.
Oh.
And the fact that we actually asked him showed how
desperate
the night had got, that we needed to ask this guy. Very scary, like, could have turned on us.
And were you going to give him a tip?
So we had, I think we had 40 euro, and we asked for a crate of beer. And between 40, so 10 euro each, something like that. So we had the 40 euro, and we said, hey, would you mind getting us a crate? So a crate would be about like 20, 22 euros, something like that. We gave him the 40. He went in, he got it. He had the beer. He took a couple of bottles for himself. He bought himself some yogurts and he kept the change.
Oh, jeez.
And we couldn't say anything. We were like, thank you so much.
Big and scary.
Thank you so much. So we took the crate of Budweiser. It was Budweiser at the time. Went down and he kind of kept on coming with us. We were like, oh God, he's definitely just going to beat us up here take our drink.
Are you thinking he wants to come out with you on the night?
Kind of. Oh. Like maybe that we were leading him to some sort of party.
Yeah.
But we weren't because we were losers. And any of our female friends at that time had kind of grown out of us.
Jeez, you had female friends?
Well, we had female friends, but at the time they'd kind of got to that stage where they were like wanted to get with older lads.
Yeah.
And they were all getting them drink. And we were just these pile of losers.
Yeah.
And no one wanted to be our friend because we couldn't get them drink except for giving these people money, and then they would buy themselves yogurts, take our drink and also the change.
Do you know what yogurt?
I think it was a Danone something.
Alright.
But it was a long time ago, Nathan, so I can't actually remember. Probably about 13 years now at this stage. But yeah, so we wanted to avoid having to do that because that was stressful. So what we had to do is we had to order fake IDs. And we didn't want to get this for some reason the same ones. So I got a British driver's license.
Did you have to put on a British accent?
Yeah. And then some of the other lads got a European health card.
Oh, Jesus.
And we found this website. But none of us wanted to get the IDs delivered to our homes because we were like, we're 16 and 17. What post are we getting? You know, and the post comes through the door. Your parents see the post, so they're going to ask. I don't know how. Maybe at the time, he was the easiest one advised to do it. But John Mack ended up having to get the IDs posted to this house. And we were stressed.
How much were they?
I think about €20 each or something like that.
And you just bought them off a weird website?
You had to send away your picture. You couldn't just like send a picture. You had to actually go get a picture taken, send it off. They would then make the card out of it. I got a little pink English driver's license. And I said I was from Milton Keynes because I thought that would be believable because nobody really knows where Milton Keynes is, but it's really believable. And it was around the time MK Dons were taken over from Wimbledon, the football team. But I couldn't do a London accent. I could only do a Scouse accent. That's the only accent I had at the time. Good. So I had to make a story up that I was born in Liverpool, but my dad got a job in London. So we moved to Milton Keynes so that when I did my driver's license, it was down in London. But I never lost my Scouse accent because all my family are in Liverpool.
Jeez, that's good.
And I'd have to go home. And
did it work?
It worked in some places, but looking back,
I'm sure people knew you though.
Not in Westport.
No.
In Lewsburg, it wouldn't work in Lewsburg. But in Westport, it would work. We'd have to go to the pubs. And I'd walk up and I'd first of all, I'd start having a conversation with the lad beside me in the bar. I wouldn't have it behind the bar. I'd be like, oh, you're in Westport? Oh, we're just over here, a few lads over on the Skag too. And then I'd start talking about that. And then, so the bar man or woman would hear me conversing with this person.
Clever man.
They'd ask me ID. I'd go, yeah. And it would work in the odd place.
Did it ever not?
Yes. It didn't sometimes. But they never took it off us. What happened when I turned 18 was, so I now had this ID. This was worth a lot of money because it had worked in certain places. So you'd pass it down to the next generation coming up. So I pass it down to John Mack's brother.
And they could just put their photo on it?
No, so they just kind of tried to say that we would look like each other.
Right.
So then John Mack's brother had it for a while and then it kept on getting passed down. So never got taken off. However, I was then it was like 19 or 20 at the time, and my godfather owns a pub in Westport, and he walks up to me and he goes, I have this. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, is this yours? Oh, my name was Joshua Smith as well.
Oh, great name.
And I go, where the fuck did you get that from? He goes, someone here from Lewsburg is using your ID. And I go, geez, I haven't seen this in about 3 years. And it made me so proud.
Do you still have it?
No. I don't know what happened to it.
That's great. It was passed around.
I was so proud.
Oh.
And I got ticked because he had used my fake ID on my godfather.
Oh.
Obviously without him knowing. And he goes, this is my cousin. This is my godson. And he's like, what? And he goes, fucking give me that.
With the big old scouse. No.
What the fuck are you talking about?
That is mad.
I want to tell you another person's. John Mack had his name. Where is it?
And you chose that name or were you given it? Joshua.
No, you chose it. I wanted to come up with the English name, Joshua. And then Frankie Michael Dillon was John Mack.
Sounds like a porn star.
Yeah, and with the practicing we
do. Do you know what was so odd? When I turned 18, I remember from my 18th birthday, had more or less the entire year from my secondary school over at my house. Only roughly 3 people went with me and my brothers to 21's nightclub. It was Asia Nice.
Were you one of the first to turn 18.
Yes.
I didn't actually think you had that many friends in school, so fair play actually getting the majority of the year.
I think they found it funny. Because it was very unusual that I was throwing this party. Now, that said, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But there was people smoking weed at the end of my garden.
Your parents were like, fucking hell. Nathan's popular.
Yeah, kind of. Like some.
Were they there?
My dad was in the center of it all,
with
making fresh pizzas with his lad squinting like a mole. Can we turn the light off, please? And why aren't we watching Eurotrash? No, my dad was loving it. He was making all these fresh pizzas while loads of people were high in the back garden, drinking. And
you have a lovely garden to get high in as
yes,
well.
Yes, if you were to get high,
it's a nice garden.
Great shrubbery.
Yeah, there's a nice shrubbery, nice bench at the back, nice trees.
But I was a big old frigid and I wasn't that excited about going to a nightclub and drinking. Just didn't appeal to me. I was scared. I'd just gone through puberty.
Yeah.
And I remember being on the dart and I had my passport because I'd just turned 18. Yeah. And I looked down at the passport and I realised that they'd made a mistake on my passport, that in fact it said I was now turning 19. It was so strange. I've never told you this before.
I could have
gone to the nightclubs a year before if I wanted
but
to.
But you wouldn't have.
And everyone was saying on the dart, everyone, just two or three people that went with me to the nightclub, say, Nathan, you could have gone to a nightclub the year before.
And you could have been buying everyone drink.
Yeah.
That was a lot of social currency you had in school.
But I remember thinking, I'm so glad I just found out now. I wouldn't have wanted the stress.
Yeah,
because it's even awkward buying people drink. I did it for just my friend Mark.
Yeah.
Because obviously I was the older one. And when he was 17, he'd message me, hey man, could you pick me up a naggin?
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
When I was in the frat house, there was this guy in the frat house in Canada. Irish people would move in during the summer, but half it would still be filled with Canadians who were doing summer school.
Hmm.
And there was this one guy, I can't remember his name, it was David or something. I'm sure Heavy D will email. He knows who I'm talking
about. Is
Heavy
D still listening?
I hope so.
Go on, Heavy D.
It's this guy. So the drinking age in Canada is 19. So this guy, we'll call him David. I don't know if his name was David. I think it was.
It's a strong name.
Was only 18. So for the whole year, he was in the frat house. He had to get the others to buy him drink. And then one day, the Irish people were going down. I think Shane McGarry was going. Yeah, Shane was getting him drink. And so he says, would you mind getting me, I don't know, maybe a shoulder of vodka. I don't know what it was. And he gave him $20. And Shane went, got him the drink and came back and gave him his change. And say the change was like $6-7, whatever. And David goes, what's this? He goes, oh man, it's your change. He goes, what's up with change? Isn't that $20? He goes, no, it's like $12 or $13. For the whole year.
Oh.
The frat brothers were charging him $20.
Why not?
We'll say it was $20 because I remember the change was like, it wasn't just a dollar or two. It was like, and if you add that up two or three
how
times
much
a week,
that would make.
I'm like, and he was the type of person who was a bit of a pushover.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the poor guy.
But also, look, if someone is getting you drink, there should be a tip or something.
Maybe.
It never really happened to me, though, going to the shop and a group of kids would ask, hey, can you buy me a drink?
Happened me once.
Because I would just find it awkward. But I remember there was a group of young guys. Hey, mister, could you buy us some drink? And I said, no. And I went into the shop. And then I was scared that they were going to beat me up because there was like five or six of them. And yes, they were younger than me, but a big group, you'd be scared.
What I said once was, hey, can you buy me a drink? And I go, sorry, I'm not 18. I just walk away.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I might try and use that.
Because I'm not. I'm 29.
That's it.
You know, I'm not lying to them.
Yeah.
I'm not 18. Sorry, I actually can't buy a drink.
Speaking about all the drinking, I was thinking back to gigs. Like,
listen to this podcast, drinking underage and watching soft porn.
With your father.
Yeah.
Your
father's Mickey out while making pizzas in front of 17-year-old girls.
Oh, calm down. Jesus.
That's what you said.
I didn't say that.
Sorry.
My father doesn't listen to this podcast. He can't fight back.
Sorry.
My very first gig that I went to, that was the first time I'd properly been drunk. And it was Coldplay, Viva La Vida, 3 Arena.
Okay.
I was probably around 18 or 19. I went there. And do you remember when you started to drink, you would actually pretend that you were drunk, but you weren't even drunk?
Yeah, on the way to Bass Hunter in Castlebar, I had two bottles, two pint bottles of Bulmers. pretended I was drunk.
Yeah, and it's horrible having to pretend. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so drunk. I'm so giddy.
Because you don't know what you're pretending.
You definitely feel something, but it isn't
it's
drunk.
The excitement of the night.
Yeah, the adrenaline is pumped in. You know, I'm a sucker, but Chris Martin was on stage and he said, "Guys,
oh yeah,
what am I about to say, Graham?
This is the greatest crowd we've ever had. We love you, Ireland!
Oh my God, I'm part of it!"
Don't know how, because if you actually look at the size of the Three Arena, it's tiny in comparison to other. Because I always love when Ed Sheeran puts up a picture of the arenas he plays in.
Yeah.
And I always compare them to the Three Arena. Three Arena is tiny.
Do you like it as a venue?
No, I love the Three Arena.
Yeah,
I think
it's
great.
I like being inside.
But when you compare it to the MEN Arena in Manchester and Wembley Arena, now I guess we don't have the population to be filling. Do you know what?
You've been to Croke Park.
Sorry. Ireland does. Ireland is a huge gig-going country. Croke Park is good. Sound is okay. Like the sound, like the acoustics in Three Arena, fantastic. So maybe the acoustics are so good that like, when the crowd is loud, it sounds louder
what
for the artist.
What did you see in Croke Park? Was it Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift.
Was that a good gig?
And the Rolling Stones. Yeah, it was a good gig.
Yeah.
Good gig. Wasn't her best album, but it was a good gig. She was a fantastic performer.
If I was to put a crowbar to your head right now and say, favourite gig in the Three Arena. Because you weren't there that night when...
Foles.
Oh. Foles.
Because it was a rock gig. Like indie rock.
Who did you go with?
Well, with Claire... I went with like Lord of Friends.
Yeah. Foles, that is a cool gig.
That's cool. And then I went, do you know what? This perfect example. Went to Foles Three Arena, one of the best gigs I've been to, but then also went to Foles in Trinity Series and it was shit. It was outside. Do you know why it was annoying? Because Trinity Series, badly run. There I said it. Badly run. Queuing for the toilet, queuing for drinks, queuing.
You don't want to be queuing.
You're constantly thinking, I have this pint, really enjoying it, but I've got to go get another one. I like drinking at a gig. And now
I hate pissing
queue.
When you're pissing like a racehorse.
So Foles was grand there.
One of the weirdest
the
gigs
the toilets.
I went to in the Three Arena. You weren't there. It was most of Spin. This would have been 4 or 5
Nicki
years
Minaj.
Ago. Nicki Minaj, yeah. Three Arena. That was strange.
Super Bass.
Super Bass was fantastic, but everything else was so odd. And going to a gig, it's an intimate, you know, experience. You want to go with a loved one. You do not want to go on a sort of awkward work night out.
Yeah.
Because it was a weird group. Me standing there with our old boss.
Yeah.
And Nicki Minaj is
gyrating
on
stage. Free tickets were being
thrown
out.
It was the free tickets.
Did you get pished?
Tried to get pished.
Sorry, best gig at Three Arena was Pitbull. Sorry.
Hello.
Sitting beside you, Britney Spears came on afterwards, slightly concerning when I was watching her.
That was awkward. Britney Spears, it was a cry for help. I knew when Britney was walking some guy on a leash that she didn't want to be there.
We can't be here much longer because we got to record something else before we go. But thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed the underage drinking and soft porn chat.
Thank you so much for your emails. GrahamandNathan@gmail.com. It's great to hear from you.
And Heavy D, I don't want you to message me on WhatsApp.
Don't be doing that.
I want you to email GrahamandNathan@gmail.com. Good night.
Thank you.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation. No.